A Delta flight was forced to make an emergency landing when an engine failed with flames visible to passengers. Nearly 150 passengers were on board the flight headed from Atlanta to Baltimore when one of the plane's engines started to have problems. Passengers say they were in the air for more than an hour, and the pilot gave them the news of the emergency landing that was going to be happening in North Carolina. One of those passengers, Tyler Krueger, had said at the time he couldn't get the bang and pop out of his head. It was scary. Smoke started rolling through the cabin, and everything started vibrating on the ceiling.
It was about an hour into takeoff from Atlanta.
The captain came on the loudspeaker and said that we had lost an engine.
This is not what you want to see when you look out the window.
But after we heard the boom, we just saw all this smoke come up into the cabin, and that's when we really started freaking out, and it started slowing down a little bit, and it was getting hot, the air cut off.
Panicked, people started to fear the worst.
Yeah, I pulled out my phone, and I know I didn't have service. I just texted my mom, I love you. I texted my dad, I love you.
But the pilot was able to make an emergency landing in Raleigh, saving all their lives.
I had a weird, eerie sense of calm over me. Like, I almost knew that they were gonna take care of it, and they did.
Delta releasing a statement apologizing for the inconvenience and giving the passengers a $30 food voucher while they waited.
Delta needs to retire those MD-80s. They're too old.
All thankful for a safe landing.
Hey, there's so many different types of people on an airplane. That's my favorite. Like the guy who said, I text my mom and dad, I love him. Like, that makes sense to me.
Of course.
The people kind of panicked. Like, it got smoky. It got hot. I was pretty afraid. Like, that makes sense to me. The girl's like, I just had an eerie sense of calm because I just knew that I was in a good place. And I have blessings. Just hashtag blessings. Shut up, you dolt. Hopefully that's not your girlfriend, Tyler. Tyler was on that plane, too. Tyler, are you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Good. It wasn't your girlfriend on the plane that was like, I just had an eerie sense of calm, and I just knew it was going to be fine.
That was my girlfriend. She was trying to calm me down. Yeah. She has other thoughts about that now that I think it's all settled in, and now she's having the anxiety.
Right.
The trouble sleeping, and so she actually had an interview with CNN and said that to him, and she kind of retracts that statement.
Yeah, because it's crazy. Because, listen, I've flown all over this planet, and I can assure you, the second an engine catches fire, blows up, stops, I go into straight, oh, this is going to suck mode. None of this, it's just going to be fine mode. That to me is crazy.
That's more of a shock, like you're in shock kind of feeling. Maybe.
I don't automatically start screaming, but I think, this is going to go bad. Like, this is not a good thing. And when it happened... Is it pretty loud? Because I've never been on a plane that blew an engine like that. And I don't know if they've really had an explanation as to what happened with that turbine, but I know that it was turning red hot. You could see in the video. Could you see the engine?
I was on the wing, so I think I was just above it. I couldn't see it from where I was at, but we heard the bang and the pop. Very, very clearly. There's no mistaking that something was wrong. My girlfriend was like, I was like, what was that? She said, it's just turbulence. Like, it should be fine. And then I look back, and everyone looks back and starts gasping. And next thing you know, there's just smoke rolling in the cabin. And I'm like, no, this is not fine. This is not okay. There's
smoke
in this plane.
And so then immediately the power, I'm sure, it drops off on that side. And then you can hear it pick up on the other side.
Yes, sir. Yes. You could feel the plane slow down. And then it just started getting really hot in there. Then flight attendants are running up and down the aisles, walking quickly. And then it took about, felt like forever, but I think it was between like 5 and 10 minutes for them to get on the microphone and the loudspeaker and say, we need to preparate, like, everybody buckle up, sit tight. And the pilot came on and said, we just lost an engine. We're making preparations for emergency landing in Raleigh. And then I just went into full panic mode. That's when I pulled out my phone and immediately texted my mom and dad.
See, I don't think that's panic. That makes sense to me. Did you turn to your girlfriend and tell her anything mean?
She kept telling me to calm down. I was like, Avery, I can't calm down. I'm really sorry, but this is like, and she's like, and then, like, the flight attendant, because we were in the emergency exit row, she came up to us and started, like, telling us, like, what we'll have to do if we once we land, and if the pilot says, fasten your seatbelt, you need to, because I was in the middle, and she said, you need to open this door, turn it like this, trying to show us directions. She was stuttering, and I was like, come on, just get it out, get it out. And I go, and she's like, let her do her job. I'm like, I can't.
You're like, you're being a bitch. She's like, I banged your best friend.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very, very hectic. And like I said, there was a lot of people, you could tell, gasping. No, I had no idea. And it's one of those things you have no control over. You just sit there on the plane, like, you can't go anywhere. You can't get up. You can't jump off the plane.
You got to just accept it, man. Did you finally, what are you saying to your girlfriend, though, after that? Like, as you're waiting for this to go, because I always wonder if you're going to get something off your chest, you're going to tell her that you didn't like her, that she hurt your feelings, or that you're sorry, you're going to start crying. And then afterwards, do you feel like a pussy because you're like, oh, I should have been a lot tougher?
Right. No, I just held her hand. I prayed to myself. Her and I said a prayer, and then the lady next to me, I had actually noticed she was reading a devotional earlier in the flight, and I was kind of creeping over, like, just looking down, reading it, some of her passages, and we wound up then, we all held hands and said a prayer, all three of us, and she was, started just reading text messages from her family, and, like, she was, like, show me messages, like, this is what we were just talking about, like, how we just had a vacation together, and we need to get link up more, because we don't get to see each other as much anymore, and it's just really, really sad, like, everything going on, and it was guys.
That's heavy, yeah.
The flight had, he had two nieces with him, he said, and they just kept looking at him, saying, Uncle John, what's going on, are we going to be okay? He just said that They're so young that they haven't even had a life to live yet, and he was just trying to tell them everything's going to be fine, knowing he had no idea.
No, you don't. You lie your ass off to a kid. You go, absolutely, it's going to be just fine. And that lady praying at an alarming rate, she's just crazy. But here's my thought on the whole prayer part. By the way, at that moment of prayer, and again, I'm not saying prayer isn't an important part of our lives. I'm saying the people that pray in those moments, my first thought is always, if God was paying attention to you, would he have put you in this position in the first place?
Yes. It's a definite thought, but I just think he puts us in his positions to overcome it.
What did you do to overcome it?
I put my faith in his hands. He tested my faith.
What about those people that die in airplane crashes?
I can't answer that.
It's your time.
Yeah, the day before we were in Pensacola.
Yeah,
we from Pensacola to Atlanta to BWI. Sunday we were in Pensacola. We were at the terminal and they said we need 4 volunteers to step off the plane, give you a hotel, and we're like, oh, another day and one vacation. Why not?
Let's smart.
Do it.
And, good call.
Well, I didn't realize I was volunteering for that the next day.
Yeah. So what you're saying is God doesn't want you to have free hotel rooms.
Yeah, exactly.
Come at a price.
Look, I'm glad you guys are okay. There's too many. Let's face it. The most frightening thing about that whole idea is because we just saw a rash of plane crashes with the 737s. That's been in the news. And it's been, it's terrifying. Normally, the way stuff goes is you don't have mid-air tragedies, mid-flight tragedies. It's not takeoff and landings are the really tricky points. So to have it happen in the middle is super disconcerting, I'm sure. The smoke, and that's what you're worried. You know the other plane. Logically, you know a plane can land with one engine. But what you don't know is the other one going to start a fire and blow us up?
That's exactly my thought. And I kept saying, I was like, well, if it happened to one engine, what makes it, say it can't happen to the one on the other side, what is the issue at the jump of it? Landing, well, if there is a fire, what happens if when we land, is the whole back of the plane? I don't know. You're just running all these thoughts through your head. And a lot of people have said, like, I don't understand why you're so scared it's only one engine. Like, it's like, no. You
were right to be scared.
You can't downplay the situation.
Anybody who says that there's something wrong with you because you were scared is never been put in that position, and they don't have the ability to put themselves into your position. I've flown on enough airplanes. You bet your ass if an engine blows and it fills with smoke, and then it starts to get super hot. Everybody around me is panicking. Even if I'm cool on the outside, on the inside, there's no doubt. I'm like, oh man, this is how I'm gonna go next to some crazy lady making me read her texts.
Yeah,
that would be my. I'd be like, don't show me your text. Show me naked photos of your friends. Just goddamn, this is terrible. Did you get anything off your chest with your girlfriend? Did you say anything? You're like, I can't die without telling her this.
No, I just said I love you, and we just held hands until we went down. That was one of the scariest parts too. Was just coming down, because they said it's either the pilot's going to come on and say fasten your seatbelts or keep your seatbelts on, remain seated, or he's going to say unbuckle your seatbelts and find the nearest emergency exit. And that's when I was like, all right, I had my hand on my seatbelt ready to just like rip it off and go from there.
Dude, you were in the best possible seat. You had the door.
Yes.
Are you kidding me? I've been taking money from people. Who wants to be second?
Yeah. That's what the lady said. We'd be down first, and then but they were saying everybody on the way down said everybody identify your emergency exit now, and I just pulled out the pamphlets in the back, and I'm just like waving on, like, I'm over here. Just trying to help as much as possible. Like, I don't know what to do.
That's great. That's awesome, man. That's fantastic.
Hey, Tyler, I was wondering, after you landed, obviously everyone's safe, the airline comes to you guys, were you able to spend your $30 voucher that day since it allegedly expired then?
No, ma'am. I couldn't eat. I went and had a drink at the bar.
Good call.
That was about the only thing that could only settle me. And we just started chatting with some other people, not from the plane, but that were asking us, and they were just sympathizing with us and stuff. And they wound up, one lady picked up one of my drinks, and then another guy I was talking to, I was like, hey man, I see you're eating, and it's been really nice. And, just letting us share, like, cause that's something you just want to talk about, get off your chest. And so I just gave him a voucher. My girlfriend gave away her 2 vouchers and stuff. So.
Nice. Well, and how,
there's no way you could eat.
How was the flight on the way home?
Nervous.
Yeah.
It was weird because the guy behind me, the lady sitting next to me, should have carried on. She went to put up in her thing on the first flight, and the guy's like, ma'am, can I help you with that? Excuse me, do you need a hand? And then when we got back on the second plane, he said the same exact words. It was just weird. I was like, dude, please do not say that. And then they came down there, like, they're like, you want Cheez-Its or crackers? I was like, well, last time I had Cheez-Its, I'm going crackers.
Change it up.
Neck pillow on this time. I was like, this is a Chris neck pillow I just bought in the airport.
The most important thing, when you got home, did you turn this incredibly stressful day into a little sex for yourself?
No, I couldn't sleep, man. My parents picked me up and just took me to, took my girlfriend and I to a bar, and we had some drinks, and just, it's crazy.
So the answer is yes.
I would go with the no. There's nothing that was seducing about that.
Oh, no, it doesn't matter. I could do that in a second and be like, baby, we almost died together. Almost, like, we can't waste any more time. We gotta get right down to this business right now. We gotta do that thing that I've been trying to get you to do for a while. All right. Listen, Tyler, I'm glad you're alive, and I'd say you're a completely normal human being, man, and you handled it really well.
Thank you, and it's just that a lot of people I've been talking to, but I've been trying to reach out on social media and just see people's tweets and stuff, and a couple people I've been talking to from the plane wanted me to just say how they're like, they don't like how Delta is downplaying the situation whatsoever. They haven't reached out to any of us. Some people are getting high miles, other people are getting $100 off their flight, and that's only if you contact corporate. And
yeah, of course, you only get what you ask for.
I'm just assuming that a nice corporation like that would reach out to you, but...
No, dude, it's never what you deserve. It's what you negotiate. If you don't call them, they're not going to do anything. You know, because for the record, nobody got hurt. Everybody got scared, but nobody got hurt. So in the big picture, like, you know, it sucked.
Nothing happened to them. Yeah.
Right. And isn't that better than a $100 gift certificate?
That is true.
Yeah.
Mentally, not being able to sleep. I just relive it, but...
All right. Well, listen, smoke a little weed, try to get your girlfriend naked. That's my best advice to you.
Or drink more.
That's the best advice. All right. I'll
try. All right, brother. You stay right there. Hold on.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.